Begin the current daf Maseches Yuma, daf Ayin Tes. We begin on the bottom line of Ayin Ches Mabeis, where the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, and that is we're speaking about the five Inuim, the five afflictions that one has to do on Yom Kippurim. One of them is not to eat and drink, which drinking is included in the category of the Inui of Achila. And the Mishnah told us that Ho'eichel K'kaseves Hagasa, if someone eats a food item the size of a large date, that would make him liable for the chiv of Misa, of violating the halacha of Inui of Yom Kippurim, which is in the category of eating. And that the Gemara continues and asks the following question. Boy Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked, and we continue on top of Ayin Testament Aleph. K'kaseves Sha'amru, regarding this shear that we said, which the shear of the punishment of violating the Inui of Achila is the shear, is the measurement of a large date, the garinasa, is that talking about with its pit? Oy beloy garinasa, or is that talking about without its pit? Now, one of the interpretations in Rashi is, are we saying that we measure the date, this large date, together with its pit inside of it? That's how we measure the volume? Or do we measure them, each one, the pit and the date, but separate? And when we do that, we lose that part of the volume that's between the pit and the date itself. So how do we measure it? Do we measure it together with the pit or separately, individually, and then together, that shear would be the ultimate measurement, but you would be losing a little bit in that measurement. A similar type of question the Gemara brings. But Rav Ashi asked the following question in a different area of halacha for measurements of food items. And that is, etzim kisaira, a bone the size of a barley corn, which this is related to the halacha of tumas maga masa, certain things, if one touches it or carries it, one becomes tummy. If let's say the bone is the size of a barley corn, was that beklipasa? When we said it's the size of a barley corn, was that talking about with its shell? Or belay klipasa? Was it talking about with added shell? Moreover, balacha or biyavesha? Was it talking about that the barley corn is moist or dry? And all these different things make the difference if this thing will be the shear that one will become tummy by touching it or not. Now, the Gemara explains that we just brought two questions, one of Rav Papa regarding our area of halacha of Yom Kippurim, regarding a large date, with the pit, without the pit, and Rav Ashi's question regarding the size of a bone of a barley corn for the halacha of tumas maga masa, if it's with the shell, without the shell, moist or dry. So the Gemara explains that Rav Ashi loy mebayle had Rav Papa. Rav Ashi didn't have Rav Papa's question, and he only had his question regarding etzim kesaira, and the reason is because gasa itma. The way we define this date, we call it keseves hagasa, the large date. Now, that means kol kamat gasa, as large as it can be, and hence, of course, we'd be measuring it together with the pit, so that it'll be the largest shear possible. That's the largest volume we get when we measure the date together with the pit, because he said that's the term, the definition of keseves hagasa means the largest it could be. Now, the Gemara tells the Rav Papa, Le Mebayle Hadar Rav Ashi, he didn't have Rav Ashi's question, because also based on the terms, the definition is inherent to know that there's no such a question. Because he says, look, lacha, if you would tell me that the barley corn was moist, but that's Shibaylis Mikri. That's called Shibaylis. Now, Shaloy Piklipasa, if you were telling me that is without its shell, then Ushla Mikri, that's called Ushla. Hence, as Rashi explains, it must be that when we're giving the term of Kesa'ira, like a barley corn, it must be A, that it's dry, and that it's with its shell. Because again, if it was moist or if it was without its shell, it would be called different things. It wouldn't be called a Sa'ira. It would be called either Shibaylis or Ushla. Hence, that's why Rav Papa didn't ever ask this question, because it's clear that it's dry in its shell, and that's because of the definition, the term that we're using of Sa'ira will tell us that's what it's going to be like. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yehuda, says, Keseva Sagasa Sha'amar, again clarifying this measurement of the large date, that was Yisair Mikabeya. This shear of eating that's prohibited on Yom Kippurim is the size of a large date that's larger than the size of an egg. Now, and the reason for that is, where do we get such a shear? We know it's something as kezayis, as kebeya, because v'kimlo rabbanan knew the b'hachim yasr v'daite. It requires that shear, that measurement, which is larger than the normal measurements we go with prohibited food items. You only are calmed down, you're only at ease when you eat the size of a large date. But less than that, the person does not calm down. Now, so therefore, although generally, when we're talking about prohibited food items, we go with the shear of kezayis, which is the size of an olive. But that's only when the Torah tells you in the terminology of prohibited achila, of eating. But here it doesn't say that one's not allowed to eat on Yom Kippurim. We only know that it's eating because it says ashalei sa'una, that a person, if he didn't afflict himself, then he's going to get punished. Now we said, what does affliction mean? Does it mean sitting in the sun? Does it mean going to the North Pole? You could afflict yourself that way too. And that we learned out from different places where it says vayancha v'ayurvecha, that what does it mean? Affliction, it means hunger, not eating. And therefore, as long as one is not calmed down, then he's still considered afflicted. And therefore, even if someone eats the size of an olive or the size of an egg, Chacham knew that you only calm down and in a non-afflicted state when it's larger than that, when it's the size of a keseva sagasa. And that's why, although it's larger than general things that are prohibited, or food items, that's the shir because it doesn't depend on echila per se, which is generally defined as a kazayas, but rather in calming down and not being afflicted, and that's only with the larger shir of keseva sagasa. Now the Gemara asked Meisvei, the Gemara asked on what Rav is telling us from a Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah. That is, Maisa, the Mishnah there brings a story, the Hevila Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, they brought for Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Litames HaTavshel, to taste a cooked dish. Well, Rabbi Gamliel, they brought him something else. They brought him Shtei Kesavis with Lishalmayim. They brought him two dates and a pitcher of water. V'amru, and they said, these two Talmid Chacham said, Helm L'Sukkah, bring up this food to the Sukkah. Now, but Tanya Allah, we learn in clarification of this story, that Leibim Nesha Halacha Kach, not because the Halacha requires this, that one would have to eat, let's say, the two dates and the pitcher of water inside a sukkah. They wanted to be stringent on themselves. There's such an element in halacha of just to be machmer, and especially in the area of sukkah. And therefore, although they weren't required to, they wanted to be stringent. Now, however, then it tells us, however, when they gave to Reb Tzadik an oichel that was pachas megibeh, a food that was less than the size of an egg, not lo b'mapa, he took it with a kerchief, and he ate it out of the sukkah, and he didn't make a bracha of Birchas HaMazon afterwards. Now, what the Mishnah is telling us is that there were three different leniencies that Reb Tzadik did. One is he didn't do Netilas Yadayim. Rather, he wrapped his hands with a kerchief. That was just because of his delicate nature. He didn't want to touch it with his hands because of cleanliness. Moreover, that he ate it out of the sukkah. And third of all, that he didn't make a bracha of Birchas HaMazon afterwards because it didn't have the share of a kebeya. So hence, he didn't have to go ahead and wash his hands, he didn't have to eat in the sukkah, and he didn't have to make birchas hamazon afterwards, because they all require a shear of a kebeya, the size of an egg. Now, the Gemara continues in Amud Beis to conclude the question on Rava. Now, it sounds like, ha kebeya by a sukkah. It sounds like, but if it was the size of an egg, it was just when they brought Reb Tzadik less than the size of an egg, then he didn't have to eat in the sukkah. Size of an egg, you have to eat in the sukkah. Now, what that sheds light on, the first part of where the Mishnah brings down the story with the first two Talmid Chacham, obviously the two dates, that it was said that loy shahalacha kein, not that the halacha required that they take it into the sukkah, just that they wanted to be stringent. Obviously, those two dates and the pitcher of water, well, we're talking about the two dates, are less than the kebeya, because we see clearly that the Mishnah is telling us, if it is the size of a bey, even those who want to be lenient and not be stringent, they eat out of the sukkah less than the bey, but bey would have to be in the sukkah, must be when the two dates that said they didn't have to, but they did want to be, it's telling us the contrast, some wanted to be stringent, others didn't want to be, but none of them were violating halacha, beya would require inside the sukkah, so the two dates must be less than the size of a bey. So the Gemara says, if you would think like Rava just said, that a large date is more than the size of a kebeya, because that's what Rava said. Now, hashta, now, if regarding two dates without their pits, that Rabbi Gamliel ate in the sukkah, but we only said he ate in the sukkah because loy shalacha came, not that it required, he could have technically eaten it outside. If we're saying that loy hav kebeya, that was not the size of an egg, because or else you would have to eat inside if it was more than an egg, it's just that they wanted to be stringent. Keseva sagasa v'garinasa, so you're telling me that one date, one large date with its pit, mi hav yisir mi kebeya, that's going to be more than the size of an egg? How could we say that two dates, with just without their pits, is less than the beya, but one date, one large one with a pit, is going to be more? That the Gemara says, I'm Rebbe Yirmiyah in. Yes, it's not a difficulty on Rava. Actually, Shtei Kesavis B'lei Garinasan, Loi Hav Kebeya. You're right. Two dates without their pits is not the size of a Beya. Kesavis Agasav Garinasa, but a large date with its pit, Hav Yisem Kebeya, that actually is more than egg. And the Gemara even says that Amar Papa, Rav Papa said, Hain Dami Inshi, this is what people say, that Trei Kavid Tamri, if you're going to get two dates with, if you're going to buy two Kavim of dates with that have the pit still inside of them, then chad kavi de kashyasa b'sriach. What you're really getting is a kav of pits, and even more so, because we see that the pits are actually larger than the dates themselves, and that's why if one would say that there's two dates, they're actually less than the bay. You could have that one large date with its pit, since the pit is actually larger than the dates, so it's more than two dates. You have a date and something larger than another date, which is the pit. Because as we see, when you buy two kav of dates, you're going to get more than half of it being the pit. And that's why it's very likely, like Rava said, that actually the shir of Kaseves Agasa is more than the Be'ah, even the two separate days without their pits are less than the Be'ah. That's one answer the Gemara gives. Rava Amar, Rava gives his own answer. He says, Hasam Hainu Taima. The reason why over there is, you're right, we could even technically say that you can't say that one date with its pit is going to be larger than two separate dates. And you're right, two dates are also larger than a Be'ah. But then the difficulty would be, why would they say that they didn't have to eat inside the sukkah? What do you mean? The Mishnah is telling us clearly in Masechta Sukkah that more than a Be'ah, you have to. So what does it mean that they didn't have to, just they want to be stringent? If we're saying if one date in its pit is more than a Be'ah, most definitely two dates without the pits are more than a Be'ah. That Rebbe says, you're right, they were more than a Be'ah, but there was different Mishum the Havalei Peri. That was talking about dates, which are fruits. Uperi le'bayi sukkah. Fruits do not require a sukkah, and therefore it's no difficulty on Rava, because yes, right, Be'ah does need a sukkah, but that's if you're eating something substantial, like bread. But if you're eating something like fruits, even more than a Be'ah, like two dates, which they brought to him, did not require to be eaten in the sukkah. And therefore it was lo shalocha kein, just that they wanted to be stringent on themselves. However, on this point, the Gemara asked Meisvi, on this answer of Rava, regarding the question that they just asked on him from the Mishnah, Masechta Sukkah, but we learned in the following braisa, so I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe says, Kishayinu loimnim Torah etzel Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, when we learned Torah by Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, hiviu lefeneinu te'enev v'anavim. So they brought in front of us figs and grapes. V'achalnu machilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. And we ate a temporary type of eating, not a meal type of eating, out of the sukkah. Now, the inference is, achilas aroi in, that if it's only some type of a temporary eating, which is permitted with all types of food items, then that why they were able to eat these fruits, this figs and these grapes outside the sukkah. Achilas kvaloi, but it sounds like that only because it was aroi, but if it would be a meal out of that, in other words, more than the size, let's say, of a be'ah, that would require to be eaten in the sukkah. But that contradicts what Rava just said, that fruits never require to be eaten in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, Ema, the first approach the Gemara says is, Achalnum, no, we ate it achila of kva, but that it was ki achilas aroi chutzasoka. It was almost as if we were eating a temporary meal outside, and that's because even if someone makes a meal out of fruits, it's still not a meal. And hence, even if you're sitting down to fruits, it is as if you ate it aroi, and that's what they were saying, that we ate a whole meal out of it. We ate kva, we ate more than the be'ah, but it was still that we ate it achilas aroi, because inherently, it's always considered an achilas aroi. Ibai Seyman, the Gemara says, or another approach you could say, is that really they were eating two things in that brisa that they brought down. That is, achalnu machilas kva. First of all, we ate an achila of kva, of the fruits, and that's even that's allowed out of the sukkah, as Rava had said. And also another thing they were saying was, achalnu pas achilas aroi ba'adayo. Together with the fruits, we ate a meal of bread, but it was a temporary type of a meal. It wasn't a real meal. It was less than the shir, which was chutz l'sukkah. We ate that out of the sukkah. So therefore, that would be answering when they're saying they ate aroi. It wasn't going on the fruits. It was going what they ate with the fruits, which was bread, which that's why they were able to eat that out of the sukkah, because bread the size of a be'ah that was a meal, achilas kva, actually would require to be eaten inside the sukkah. Now the Gemara says, le misayeli. Actually, let's support Rava from the following braisa, which indicates that fruits are exempt from the sukkah in all cases. Because the braisa says as follows, lefikach im hishlim. Therefore, if somebody completes, and this is a reference to the halacha that Rabbi Eliezer says in Masechta Sukkah, that a person has to eat 14 meals in the sukkah. That's it for all the days of sukkahs, you have to have 2 meals a day. Therefore, if someone completes bimini targima, he completes his meals, not really with a bread meal, but with different types of side dishes, then yatzah, he has fulfilled his chiyah. Now, so that the Gemara proves, like Rava, if you would think, not like Rava, that even fruits require to be eaten in the sukkah, so listening peris. So why say, which the term targima generally means some type of a cooked dish, why say that you could even fulfill your obligation, not just with a bread meal like on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but you could fulfill it even with mini targimo, with different types of cooked dishes, say even the bigger chiddush. Other things that require sukkah, you could also fulfill your obligation of the suda, and that's with fruits. Why not say fruits? Obviously, like Rava, that because fruits don't require sukkah, hence that's not considered an achila, a suda, that would fulfill the obligation of sukkah type of eating, because it doesn't require a sukkah, like Rava. And the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya, and the Gemara gives two reasons why it's not a raya to Rava. Because first of all, my mini targima, what does it mean there in the brisa that you could eat all different types of dishes? It means pears, it includes fruits too. And you're right, maybe fruits are required to be eaten in the sukkah. And mini targima to fulfill the 14 meals of sukkahs would actually include fruits too. Or another reason why it wouldn't be approved is we're talking about it's in a location where it's not so common to have fruits, and that's why they didn't pick to say peiris. You're right, maybe peiris would also be included, but we only pick mini targimu because that's generally people eat different types of cooked dishes, so we said that. But if it was a place that we would have eaten fruits, we would have said fruits too. Now that was Rava's approach, which we mentioned in Amud Aleph. Now Rav Zvid Amar, he says he argues on Rava regarding this shear of a Kesevas Agasa, which Rava said it's larger than a Be'er. Rav Zvid says, Kesevas Agasa Sha'amru, this large date that we said regarding the Isser, the obligation of the Chiv that would get to someone who's eating on Yom Kippur, is the size of a large date, that's Chaser Mikabeya. That's actually less than the size of an egg. Did not like learn the Mishnah Masechet Be'er, and he'll prove it. Mishnah tells us, Bishami Oimim Sa'ur B'Kizayis. The violation of leavening agent, which is called Sa'ir, to violate the Isra of Bal Yiroah, Bal Yimotzeh, to see it, one's not allowed to have it in one's possession on Pesach, that is violated when one has the shear of a kizayis, of an olive, whereas chametz, because seves, whereas the violation of chametz, which is something like bread, which is not a leavening agent per se, it's an edible chametz, a leavened a product, that's only in the shear of a kizayis of a large date. Now, Vavina Ba, my time at Bishami, we had asked regarding Bishami's opinion that's brought down over there, what's the reason for this discrepancy? Why does he hold that Sa'ur is in the smaller share of a Kezias, whereas Chametz is only the larger share of a Kesevas? And so the Gemara explained it as follows, because Nichtav Rachman Chametz, the Torah should have only written that one violates the Isra of Chametz, which with a leavened object, let's say like a piece of bread. We wouldn't have to tell you that a leavening object that is an agent of creating leaven, which is sa'ar, I wouldn't have to tell you that one would violate the iser of bayra bayimotzer with that. Because v'anamina, I would say the following kavuchemer. Uma chametz she'in chemutzei kasha. Whereas chametz, which is not a harsh type of a leaven, because it itself is maybe chametz, but it cannot go ahead and make other things leaven. And yet, aser b'kizayis, it's prohibited the size of an olive. Sa'ur, shechimutzi kasha, so regarding sa'ur, which is a leavening agent, where it's a very harsh type of a chametz, like kolshkin, wouldn't it be obvious that if you have this shir of a kizayis, one would be violating the iser on Pesach? Therefore, midepalgina rachmanav, and the fact that the Torah does separate them, and it doesn't just say the iser of chametz, it also says the iser of sa'ur, limdalacha, it's coming to teach you the following lesson. Shi'uri shalzeh, that loik shi'uri shalzeh, is coming to tell you why did I mention sa'ur too? I would have known sa'ur from chametz. To tell you that it has its own stringent measurement more than that of chametz. That tells you that sa'ur b'kizayis must be the sa'ur has the more stringent of the shi'urim, which is the size of an olive, v'chametz b'kiseves, and whereas chametz is like the larger shi'ur of a large date. Now, as Rashi explains, that you have to say that chametz is going to be larger than the kizayis. And that's why I wrote in the Torah sa'ur. This is what Beishami's opinion is. Because had we not written Sa'ar, and we would have learned that Sa'ar from Chametz, so I would have thought to say what's called Daya Lovim in Hadin Liyas Kenidin, which means to say that even though it's a Kavah Chaymer, most definitely if this is prohibited, this is prohibited, but you can't learn more than what that's teaching. You can't say, oh, if that's going to be 100, let's say this is going to be 200. You can only get as much of that itself as teaching you. Now, therefore, we would not have been liable on the Sa'ar for a smaller shear. It would have been only the larger shear that is by Chametz. That's why the Torah wrote Sa'ur to tell you that it's not only going to be chayiv in the larger share of a kesevis of a large day, it's actually going to be chayiv even the smaller share of a kezayis. Now, because had the Torah written only one of them, let's say the size of a Sa'ur, and Rashi's struggling with the following question. How do you know that Sa'ur is kezayis and kesevis is, and the chametz is a kesevis, is a large day? Maybe, had we not written Sa'ur, we would have thought to say that so this the chametz is a kizayis. Now that we're saying tzar, it's actually less than a kizayis. So in that Rashi says you can't say that because you can't have the iser of re'iya of viewing something, which is bal yiroah bal yimotzeh, which is the iser by sa'ar, not of consumption, to be more stringent than consumption of an iser, which you actually bring it into your body, because generally an achila is a kizayis, and therefore you can't say that this of sa'ar is going to be even less than a kizayis. So that's why we have to say that the more stringent of the two, which is the sa'ur, is going to be the stringent shear of kezayis. The more kal one, the more lenient one, which is the one of the chametz, which is not as chametz stick, so to speak, as leaven, is going to be the larger shear, more than the kezayis, which is going to be the shear of a kesevis of a large day. That's what we had explained over there in Masechtas Be'er. Now the Gemara concludes with the proof to Rav Zvid, which is not like Rava, that we see that obviously a large date is less than the Be'er. How so? And if you're going to think to say, like Rava wanted to say, that the large date that we're speaking about over here, in violation of the Isra of Inu of affliction of Kippur, is Yisir Mikabeya, is more than an egg, then Mechti, let's see. Beishamai, the reason why they said that the Sa'ir is the more stringent share, the lowest you can go of a Kizayis, and that of the Chametz is the largest share of a Kisevis of a large date, they Ashira Dinafish Mikazayas Kamahadri. They were only looking for a larger share more than the Kazayas. Because they had to say that Sa'ir is the most stringent, which is the low one of Kazayas. And from the fact that the Torah had to write Sa'ir, must be that, oh, it's different than Chametz, and that's why he wrote it to say it has the most stringent. And Chametz is the larger share. Now, had Beishamai found a measurement that less than a large date, but more than the Kazayas, so they would have measured with that, because they're just trying to find something more. They don't have a reason why they're picking a large date. They just want to go to the next size up. And because the Mohammedigal one has to be the Kazayas, the next one up is going to be the less stringent one, which is that of the Chametz. Now, if the size of an egg was less than the large date, so listen to Kebeya, so let Beishamai say that Chametz is going to be the size of an egg, because that's the next size up. And if you're saying that the Kesevas Agasarov is more than that of a Beya, so pick Beya. Why go up two steps up to the size of a large date? Now, even more so, Rav Zvid says, even if you're going to say that they're the same, that of an egg and a date, still it's difficult, because still Nisni Kebe, you still should have picked the term of an egg, which that's the more common terminology used throughout the Mishnayos, more than this term of Kesevas, which we don't find so often. For example, let's say regarding Tumas Eichlin, we use the shear of, it transmits Tumah in the shear of a Kebe, of an egg. So therefore, we should have said, even if they were equal, even if let's say it's not more, even if they're equal, you still should have picked Be'ah. So this is where Rav Zvid proves his opinion that Kesevis is Pchusa Mikabeya, must be, not like Rava, that it's actually less than the Beya, and that's why the next size up was the date, and that's why we picked it, because we're just trying to get something more than Sa'ar, which is Kedayas, which will be Kesevis Agasa, but it was like Rava, it should have said Kebeya. Nothing more says, no, it's not a riot. Mimai, Dimala Oil Memlucha, maybe I'll tell you that Kesevis Agasa Sha'amru Yisir Mikabeya, maybe it's like Rava. That this large date that we're talking about regarding the affliction of Yom Kippur is actually more than an egg. Hastama kebeya. But when it's not a large date, it's just a regular date, which Beishamai is talking about a regular date, maybe that's the same size as an egg. Now, v'inam ikadadinenu, and even if you want to say that they're the same, in other words, first you could say that maybe the date is actually smaller. And that's why Beishamai picked it, because although Kesevis Agasa, Rav is saying, would be larger than the egg, here that they're picking the next size up, which is, you seem to be right, Rav Zvid, but that's talking about a regular date. A regular date is actually less than an egg, and that's why I would agree that here Beishamai would pick the date. Now, and then he says, and then even if you say that they're the same, the egg and the date, it still wouldn't be difficult on me, because they only picked one of the two, and they picked the terminology of Kesevis, but really Ben Kesevis is the same, and therefore it's not a raya, because you can make this difference. You can make the argument that there's something called Kesevis Hagasa, which is more than a Be'ah, like Rava, and the regular Kesevis, regular date, which is actually less than a Be'ah, or the same as a Be'ah, but he just chose one of the two terms. So rather the Gemara says El Mahacha, rather the writer of Zvid, that it's actually a Kesevis Hagasa is less than a Be'ah, is from the following Mishnah Masechtas Brachas. It says in the Mishnah, Ad Kama Mezamnin, how much does someone have to eat to be Chayiv Birchas Hamazon after he eats his meal? So that is Machlokes. Ad kezayis, the Meir says, until he eats the size of an olive. Bihudaimer ad kebeah, until he eats the size of an egg. Now, so the Gemara had asked, b'maikamifki, what is it that they're arguing about? Why does one say egg and one say olive? So Meir Savah, they both are learning off in the pasuk that says, v'chalta v'savata v'rachta, you should eat, be satiated, and then you bless. They see birchas hamazon comes after v'chalta v'savata. But what do those terms mean? So Remeya holds, Vechalta zu achila, eating is a reference to eating. Vesavata zu shtia, and satiate is a reference to drinking, because one does not become full when he eats a meal if he doesn't drink. So therefore, you have to eat and drink. Now, so therefore, vachila bekazayis, when it says achila, as in the whole Torah, it generally means a kazayis. That's why it says berchas hamazon is the share of an olive. Behudasava, however, he holds, no. Here it's not just the term of vachalta. Actually, vesavata is qualifying vechalta. It says, vechalta vesavata, you should eat and be satiated, which means, Achila sheyesh basviya has to be a type of eating that satiates. Ve'ezeh, what type of eating satiates? Ze kebeya, that's the size of an egg. Now, this the Rav Zvid concludes his proof not like Rav. He says, if you would think like Rav, that this large date that we're talking about, that one is chayiv if he eats it on Yom Kippur, is more than the size of an egg. Now, listen to this. Hashta kebeya sevui mesava, if an egg size volume of food actually makes a person satiate, he's full, daitaloy miyasva, it's not going to calm him down, it's not going to put him at ease. He's full. For sure, he's going to be calm. He can't even eat anymore. He's full. Now, that wouldn't make sense to say that you're not going to be calmed down until a larger shear of a date, of a large date, if you're already full in the smaller shear. Alav Shemamino must be, Rav Zvid says, like me, a kasevas agasa shamru is pachas mekebeya. Must be, the large date is actually less than the egg. And therefore, you're right. Kebeya mesaba, you only become full in the larger shear of an egg. Kikaseves, when you eat the smaller share of a large date, miyasu daite, you're at ease, you're calmed down. However, it does not satiate a person, and therefore that's a right to Rav Zvid that this share of the kiseves agasa for the inner of Yom Kippurim is smaller than an egg, and therefore it's enough to calm one down. However, being satiated doesn't come until one eats the size of a kebeya.